So, when I was a kid, there was a little trick that we would pull on people who had a snack or something that we wanted to eat. And I'd kind of forgotten about it till recently. I was asked, a while back actually, I was asked by a student of mine that another student pulled the same trick on him. And then he recently asked me for some Myra McComas on the subject, so figured I'd discuss it. The trick is that if someone's eating a snack that you want, so you walk up close enough that the person can hear you, and let's say, for example, the guy's eating potato chips and you want a potato chip, so you walk up, you stand next to him, and you say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melcholam, Borei Pri Adamah. You make a Borei Pri Adamah, and you basically are asking in a very not nice way that he better give you a potato chip, otherwise, you're going to be making a Bracha Levatala, and that's going to be his fault. So you don't want to be at fault for someone else making a bracha levatala. It's machlokes, tells us in the Rambam, are you violating an issur d'oraisa or an issur d'rabbanan? Either way, it's some form of losis Hashem Hashem alkecha lashav, and it's not something you want to be doing. So is this a problem for the person who eats the potato chips? He doesn't want to give the guy any potato chips. He wasn't interested, and maybe if the guy would have asked nicely, he would have given him one. Maybe not. It's not incumbent upon you that you must give him potato chips. But certainly, after the guy did this, pulled this nonsense on you, you don't want to give him any potato chips. So, are you chayef to give him a potato chip at that point to help him avoid the bracha levatala? So that's point number one. Point number two: if you even give him the potato chip, are you helping him? Meaning, is it possible that the bracha that he already made already constitutes a bracha levatala, and giving him the potato chip would just be necessitating him making another bracha, and therefore you would be then. You'd then be helping him violate two problems, which is number one, he just made a bracha levatala. Number two, now he's eating a potato chip without a bracha. So that's the issue we want to deal with. Does this trick work? And if it doesn't work, so you're really dealing with a double problem over here. So just to take a step back and give a little bit of background information over here. So there are a few issues that come up. And these issues are discussed in Siman Resh Vav of the Shulchan Aruch. So the first issue is the idea of having a hefsek between the bracha and the achila. Now, this is based on the Gemara in Maseches Brachos in Perikei Tzad Mevarchim. Those are the rules of Bracha Rishona, generally speaking. There are, assorted rules elsewhere throughout that Masechta and throughout Shas. But basically, the Gemara in Maseches Brachos on Daf Mem Amid Aleph has the following statement that it says that if you make a bracha and then you say a gvil de ture, then you say basically feed my ox, you forgot to feed your animals, so then the Gemara says that is not considered a hefsek main bracha l'achil. So this is one of the things that the Gemara gives two examples. They have Tol Bruch and Gvil Leture. Basically, if you make a bruch, let's say you're sitting down to the Shabbos table, and you make the hamotzi for everybody, and then you realize you forgot to feed your animals. Now, lach is, you're not allowed to sit down to eat until you feed your animals first. So now, it's preventing you from consuming the bread. But if you send a shliach to go ahead and feed the animals, so then you would be allowed to eat. So you make the hamotzi lechem in haaretz, you cut the chali, or about to eat it, and then you realize you didn't feed the animals, so you're allowed to say gvil leturi. You're allowed to say go feed the animals under those circumstances, and that is not considered a hefsek bidyeved. So obviously lechatchila, better to say that before you make the bracha, but bidyeved, it's still considered that you're allowed to eat the challah after you made that bracha, even though you said that hefsek in between. But what is clear from that Gemara is that any other spoken word would constitute a hefsek at that point. And that is one type of hefsek between the bracha and eating. So rule number one is you're not allowed to speak any unnecessary words after you make a bracha before you eat, and Mishneh Berurah points out that even applies to a Birchas Mitzvah. You're supposed to make the Birchas Mitzvah, and then right away you're supposed to begin to do the mitzvah. Another example of this, also a very, very common example, would be that some posts can point out that even though there is a very nice minhag that one kisses his tzitzis after Baruch Sha'amar, maybe it's not the best time to kiss your tzitzis after Baruch Hashem Melech Mehulah Batish Bachos. Maybe that's not the best time to kiss your tzitzis, because kissing your tzitzis is not really necessary. It's not part of the Pesukei Dezimra service. It's a whatever, for whatever reason it became a practice that we do. It's a very nice thing to do, but it's not essential to the Psukei Dezimra. So what you're doing, if you hold like those Rishonim who say that the bracha Baruch She'amar is the opening bracha of Psukei Dezimra, and then the text of Psukei Dezimra is like the thing you made the bracha on, and then Yishtabach is the closing bracha, so you probably shouldn't have any kind of a hefsik between Melech Bulabat Tishbachos and Hodu, because that Hodu, or if you daven Nesuch Sfarad, I don't really know what comes next, maybe Mizmel Soda. But if you don't want to have a hefsik in between those, the bracha and the actual text, because that's like making a bracha hefsik between the Birch HaMitzvah and the Mitzvah, like the Birch HaNenen and the Hana, so you don't want to kiss your tzitzis right then and there. Maybe it's kedai to say a few sentences of Hodu first and then kiss your tzitzis, where it's not really much of a hefsik at all. Now, some would suggest that kissing the tzitzis is not the same thing as speaking out. Now, that's a valid argument, but Lemaisa, that's what some poskim recommend. So we don't want to have any kind of hefsik in between eating, in between the bracha and the eating. And this is Paskin and Shulchan Aruch, Simon Reish Vav, Siv Gimel, Kol Elu HaBrachos, Tzarech Shelo Yafsik Bein Bracha LaAchila. Right? And any bracha that you make, you're not allowed to have a hefsik between the bracha and the achila. And the Ramah adds in Yoser Mikdei Dibur. It can't be longer than the amount of time it takes to say a short sentence. Shel Malecha Rabbi Umori. Right? So that, and Mishnah Berurah points out over here, that is talking about, when you're standing there silently, meaning you, let's say you have an apple in your hand, and then you say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokim Melech Haolam Borei Pri Ha'etz, and you're about to eat the apple, and then you stand there and you stare off into space. That is not recommended for any time longer than a few seconds, because that would be considered a hefsik as well. So you're not allowed to have any kind of hefsik between the amount of time, if it's silent for a short period of time, and Kal Vachomer, you're not allowed to have any kind of dibur after you make the bracha in between the bracha and the achila. Okay, that is rule number one. The next rule comes along from another gemara in the sixth parak of Maseches Brachos, and that rule is that you're supposed to hold the item that you're making the bracha on, preferably in your right hand. Certainly, if you're a righty, you're supposed to hold it in your right hand. And that's based on the gemara on Mem Gimel Amid Beis, where it said, they quote the following Brisa, Hevio the fun of Yayin Veshemen, they bring forth wine and oil. Beis Hillel Omrim, Beis Hillel says, Ochez es Hayayin Bimino, Ves Hashemen Bismolo, Mevarech al Hayayin, Va'acharkach Mevarech al Hashemen. So you're supposed to hold the wine in your right hand because that's the one you're going to be making the bracha on first. That's all. And then you hold the Shemen in your left hand because you're going to make the bracha on that second. So clearly you're supposed to hold the item that you are making the bracha on in your stronger hand, your right hand, perhaps always your right hand, but definitely if you're a righty, you're supposed to hold it in your right hand. And that is to show that you're looking at the item when you make the bracha, and you're holding the item when you make the bracha. And again, that shows that the bracha is going on it, and it minimizes any kind of hefsik, and it gives greater chashivas to the bracha. It's a very, very positive practice, not having it on you, which is not recommended at all. Now, just as a disclaimer, there is an inyan to hold if you're making a bracha on bread, there's an inyan to hold it in both hands for a different reason we're not going to get into right now, but that is specifically related to bread. The last rule I want to discuss is based on, according to the Beis Yosef, it's based on a comment of the Yerushalmi, which is that you're not allowed to make a bracha. I'll read you the lashon of the Torah over here. Ein mevarchin lo al ochel velo al mashke ad shiyivuhu lefanav. Right, you're not allowed to make a bracha on food or drink until they bring it in front of you. That's actually the exact same lashon as the Shulchan Aruch. So it's in Siman Reish Vav Siv Hey in the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch. You're not allowed to make a bracha on something until it is brought in front of you. Obviously, lechadchila, we just said you're supposed to hold it in your hand, but let's say you're not holding it in your hand, it at least has to be in front of you at the time where we're making the bracha. Beirach v'achar kach heviyu lefanav, tzarech levarech pam acheres. And if you made the bracha, and then they brought it in front of you, then you have to make another bracha. But the exception is avol misha beirach al peros shel lefanav. Let's say you had an apple in front of you, and you made a bar b'reitz on that apple. V'achar kach heviyu lo yoser, me oso hamin. And then they brought you more apples that wasn't in front of you at the time of the Bar Priya ate, Omi Min Acher, or they brought you some pears, Shebirchaso Kibirch Sarijan, the same bracha Bar Priya ate, Einot Sarech Levarech. So you don't have to make a new bracha at that point, even though it wasn't in front of you at the time, says the Ramah. V'tov l'chachila lios daito al kol ma'ashivila. Always best to have stam das, that whatever they're going to bring me, that the bracha that I'm making now should take effect on whatever comes next. Okay, so these three rules are really essential to this idea. Number one, again, just to recap, we had the rule that you're not allowed to have any kind of a hefsik, whether it's a short amount of time or any kind of dibur, after you make the bracha. Number two, you're not allowed to make a bracha, when you make the bracha, you're supposed to be holding the item in your right hand. And number three, you're not allowed to make a bracha on something which is not in front of you at the time. So when you pull this shtick that you go over to the guy and you make a bracha and he's eating potato chips, so this could be a violation of all three of these principles. So right off the bat, there is no way that this is a lichachila thing to do. Meaning, even if you're all great friends, and you know most of the time you are friends with the person, it's not so you don't go over to a stranger and do this. But nevertheless, you're all good friends, and you're pretty sure the guy's going to give you from his potato chips. But you just want to try to be funny or whatever it is. So you go over to him and you do this. So this is not l'chadchila in any way, shape, or form, because number one, there's an excellent chance that the hefsik in between the bracha and him realizing what just happened and cheshbening, should I give it to him, should I not give it to him, and you then motioning and saying, after you make the bracha rishona, is going to constitute certainly a hefsik of waiting yoser mikdei dibur, and you have that problem. Not problem number two, you're not holding the item in your hand. And problem number three, which could be ma'akev even b'di'evet, is the item is not in front of you. It's in someone else's hands. Now I want to show you this idea from the lashon of the Mishnah Berurah over here. This is in Sif Katan Yud Tes and Siman Reish Vav in the Mishnah Berurah. Va'afilo kivein daito aleihem b'shas bracha. Even though you had in mind that you were going to be eating this, somebody's going to bring it to you, you're going to eat it. Lo mahani, this doesn't help. Kaven sha'az lo hayu lefanav, lo haya bracha malachu, because at the moment it was not in front of you, and the bracha had nothing to take effect on. Velo dummy, now he compares it to a case of a stream, or you could say a water fountain, or something like that. You can't compare it to a water fountain or a stream that he talks about in the next sif, where it's flowing downstream and you know the water is coming. So he says, Kevan jibavadi avo amayim negdo. The water is coming. You see it on its way. So it's not the same thing as kiilu hayulafan of damya. That's considered as in front of you right now. Masha inkin hacha de tali bidas acherim. This statement that you're making a bracha because you think someone's going to bring it to you, that's what we call tali bidas acherim. And tali bidas acherim is a major problem when it comes to brachos, as I'll try to explain in a second. Then he gives an exception if the thing is in a box at the time of the bracha, and then he takes it out of the box, so ain't a tzarich over. Then you don't have to make another bracha because it's mucham lefanav and ain't a tali b'das acher. Meaning, if all you had to do was open up the package after that, so you have the koach to open up the package, and it wouldn't be d'yevet require another bracha. Now notice that's not lechadchila either, because it's not in your hand and it's not ready to go, and there might be a little bit of a hefsik. Now the hefsik in this case is you trying to open up the box and get the item out of the package, but still, it's not a recommended way to go about it. Then he quotes the Prima Gadin, and he says, "Hu adin kol ki agav nashay yavada shiavu etzlo." If it's definitely going to bring it to you, meaning the waiter is coming with the food, you know that's his job. He's definitely going to do it. He's not going to lose his job over this idea. Kigon shu b'cheder asamachlo. It's in the next room. It's in the kitchen, in the restaurant. Let's say gam kein ein sarach lachzor levarch. So b'di'eved, you don't need to make a new bracha, even though it wasn't in front of you at the time. Ach lechadchila b'vada yesh lizar b'zeh. Certainly lechadchila, you should be careful about this. Meaning, don't do this. Echad mitan hefsik, right? Number one, because it's a hefsik. And number two, like we said, you're supposed to hold it in your hands at the time of the bracha. So maybe you didn't violate number three, that there it's not yet in front of you, because maybe this is considered like it's on its way and it's a definite, 100% it will be there soon. But it's still not l'charchila because you violated the other two rules that we laid out earlier. Okay, now based on all of this, I wanted to suggest that if a person pulls this shtick where he tries to use the bracha to steal the food from you, so you number one, the bracha would not be effective, and number two, the bracha, and number two, even if you gave it to him after that, he would be chayav to say another bracha, because in my opinion, this is in fact similar to the Shulchan Aruch's idea that beirach va'achar kach heviyu lefanav. Now, why is that? And I just want to be clear. I want to be clear. I actually today, even though I've been saying this for a long time, today I found in the Sefer Piskei Tshuvos that he disagrees with what I just said. I'll read you the lashon because it's cute. He says, "Umasha matzoi etzel pizizim v'kale das." So you have this this practice amongst you know, not such smart people and foolish people, let's just say. Sheroim eizem meichel arev etzel chavreim. They see a nice piece of food that their friend has. Verotzim zos, and they want it. Umavarchim kedei shechaveri yitzdarich litnula. So they make a bracha, so their friend will have to give it to them. Yesh letzadeid she'ein sarich levarich alav shenis. So you can suggest, he says, you could paskin that they don't need to make another bracha. Source, I don't have access to this sefer to my knowledge. Ayin shalos and chubas even yishafa chelik aleph simon mem gimel. If anybody has a copy of that sefer, they could send it my way. He says you don't have to make another bracha. Why? Once you get it, chada ki amaychol lefanav neged einav, right? He says because the food is there. Ve'in lo safek shema yavu lo maychol mimen acher, and he doesn't think he's gonna end up giving him a different food. V'yeshel bracha al malachu. So because of that, the bracha has on what to take effect. V'sheinis dasvarna sena sheyichaver yitneu lo, and it's a good svara that he's probably gonna give it to you. He says, but you have to be very careful and refrain from doing things like this. So certainly he agrees that this is very much not l'chachila, but he does say, if the guy gives in, you don't have to make another bracha, which is another way of saying that the guy probably should give in order to save you from a bracha levatala, because it won't be a bracha levatala if you made it. So, you know, So basically, Piskei Tshuvos is paskening that you should give him the food, and it's not a bracha levatala if you give him the food, even though certainly it is not in any way, shape, or form lecharchila. However, I don't think this is the correct psak, and I'll just tell you why very simply. The Mishnah Brura had brought in this idea, what we call talui bedas acherim. When something is dependent on someone else's decision, then that is not a case where we accept the bracha. And I have two very basic rayas to this. Now, neither of them is perfect, but they're both similar to this idea. And the Mishnah Brura, if you understand these rayas the way I'm understanding them, then the Mishnah Brura fits in perfectly with this as well. Number one, there is the Ravid when it comes to making a bracha on Kiddushin. Ravid wants to know why we don't make a bracha when you give a wife a ring and you say, Arei Makudeshesli, why don't we make a bracha on Kiddushin? So he says, because this is something that is Tali b'das acherim. This is something we don't know for sure that she's going to accept the Kiddushin, and therefore we don't make a bracha before you do the mitzvah of Kiddushin. Now, that's very nice in a case where, you know, it's some kind of, you walk over to a woman on the street and you say, you know, will you marry me? Hurry up, Makadeshesli. And if you would make a bracha in advance, so you have a, you know, let's say a 50-50, 80-20, 90-10 chance that she'll say yes. But there is a significant chance that she'll say no. However, in most cases, I would imagine, even in the times of the Gemara and the Rishonim, in most cases, the chances that the woman would say no at the point where the husband is actually ready to be mekadesh her are almost none. There haven't been, you know, in the movies and on TV, they do a lot of runaway brides where you leave the guy under the chuppah or by the altar, whatever they call it. But l'maisa, it's not so common in our day and age, and I don't think it was very common in the times of the Mishnah and the Gemara and the Rishonim either, and not in the times of the Ravid as well, that people would say no once it was understood, this is the marriage, this is the arrangement, and we're going to get married. All of a sudden, the woman's not just going to decide on her own, nah, we're not going to get married, I changed my mind. So the chances are, it was at least, I would say less than 1 in 100 and probably less than 1 in 1,000 that something was going to go wrong. Now, if you cheshbon those statistics, and I'm not saying this is based on statistics, if you cheshbon those statistics against, let's say you have one apple in the whole house and you're standing over a very, very dirty floor. So I don't think anyone in the world would say that you shouldn't make a bracha on the apple lest you come to drop it, and you know that once you drop it, you will not be eating it off of that floor, and there are no other apples in the house. Even if there's one apple in the house, and the floor is very dirty, and the chances of you dropping it are probably less than 1 in 100 or 1 in 1,000. There's a decent chance people drop things, and you might drop it. So I don't think anybody would ever say, oh, in that case, you don't make a bracha. Whereas in the case of Kiddushin, we say don't make a bracha because maybe she'll say no. So it's not about maybe saying no. I don't think the Ravid thinks she's going to say no either. And he thinks statistically there's virtually no chance she's going to say no. And it's not about statistics and chances. It's about the idea that Chazal, we're not misakin a bracha when something is toli bedas acherim. When the whole thing is dependent on me, that's when I make a bracha. When it's toli on somebody else's decision, then I don't make a bracha. Another example would be, the Rashba, in his famous tshuva at the beginning of his Sefer Shalosh Tshuvos, I always forget the number, but it's right there at the beginning. Maybe it's Yedalet, Yedbeis, Yedalet, something like that. Very close to the beginning of the tshuvas of Rashba. He has a tshuva, when do we make a Berachah Mitzvah, and when don't we make a Berachah Mitzvah. And he gives an example, I believe, of tzedakah, and he says we don't make a Berachah Mitzvah on tzedakah because you never know if the ani is going to, if the ani is going to refuse the tzedakah. Now, I have been to places with collectors many, many times, and although people will tell you horror stories, you know, I gave the guy a certain amount of money and then he threw it back in my face, I don't think those guys, those people are necessarily even telling the truth, but if they are telling the truth, then those stories are very few and far between. I've given tzedakah of various amounts to many different people over the years. No one ever gave it back. And Kal Vachomer, in a case where the guy puts out his hand and he says, can I have some tzedakah? You know he's not giving back whatever it is that you give to him. And there's almost no chance. But again, it's not that we're afraid the guy is going to refuse to accept the tzedakah in the sense of statistics that there's a 1 in 100, 1 in 1,000, 1 in 10,000 chance that he might refuse the money. It's that we don't make brachos on things that are tali b'das acherim. That's just the yesod in Hilchos Brachos. And I think that's what the Mishnah Berurah is talking about over here as well, where he says when it comes to a stream, or call it a water fountain, that the water's not yet there, but definitely when you push the button, the water is going to come out, 100% chance, and you control whether the water is going to come out, or you see the stream flowing in your direction, you can make a bracha on it. That's considered that it's in front of you, mamish. He says, Masha Ein Kein, in our case, where a person is going to have to bring it to you, that is what we call tali b'das acherim. And then, if you may, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch is talking about, that if you made that bracha, then you are you're nothing. It's a bracha levatala, and you have to make another bracha. So when you go over to your friend and you make a bor pri adam and that potato chip, so it's not like the guy is definitely going to give you the potato chip. I'd say there's a, you know, let's say a 90-10 chance that he's going to give you the potato chip. It's not definite. It's probable. He probably will give you the potato chip. It's worth it. The lashon of the Piskei Tshuvos is hasvara nosenes shechaveru yitneulo. Yeah, it's logical to assume that he's going to give it to you, but that's an assumption. So that is definitely what we call tali b'das acherim. It doesn't need to be a 50-50 suffix to be tali b'das acherim. I would argue, based on the way I'm understanding the Rashba and the Ravid, that it doesn't have to be any kind of suffix when it's tali b'das acherim. We just don't make brachos when something is tali b'das acherim, unless that person's das is very clear in front of you that his whole goal is to get you the food, then we're lenient. We don't call that tali b'das acherim anymore, because his das is your das. He's just your shaliach to get the job done. However, anytime it's tali b'das acherim, where the guy has a decision to make, even though it might be very clear what decision he's going to make, nevertheless, we don't make brachos under those circumstances. And it's for that reason that I think, again, if you want to go, Piskei Tshuvos certainly knows a lot more than I do, but I think in this area, the correct halacha is that the person is not yotze with that bracha. Certainly, we've all established he's not doing anything l'chachila. But even b'dieved, I think you're not doing him any favors by giving him the potato chip, because I don't think he was yotze with that bracha. I think that fits in perfectly to the criteria in the Shulchan Aruch that he made the bracha and then have you lefanav, because again, even though it was there, it was totally in your das, and it's not guaranteed what you were going to do. And if you give in and you give it to him, you should recommend to the person, I'm happy to give it to you, but you should say Baruch Shem, and then you should make another bracha because you weren't yotze with the first bracha.